forgiveness. Are there any announcements that need to claim our attention that's not in the bulletin? Any announcements? Anything other than the Brother Orville announced? It's in there, though. If not, we're glad you're here. And I am glad to be better. I caught this stuff. I'm going to say I caught it from IB is what I'm going to say. He's the one that gave it to me, but I don't know. If you have your Bible, I invite you to turn with peace to the epistle, 1 John, the 4th chapter, 1 John 4. Just before Miss Brown, the Sunday school teacher, dismissed her class, she asked the boys and girls, why is it necessary to be quiet in big church? And little Annie Hand shot up and she says, because people are sleeping in there, that's why. I hope you don't go to sleep tonight. I told them in the prayer room, being my throat felt like it did, I wasn't going to preach maybe as loud, but I'll preach longer, okay? Is that might be all right? Sometimes preaching is like little Susie, all dressed up in her Sunday best and running so fast as she could to try to get to Sunday school on time and not be late. And as she was running and praying, she said, dear Lord, please don't let me be late. And as she was running, her foot hit the curb. She stumbled, fell, and got up, and she looked at her dress, and it was torn and had dirt on it. She brushed it off, and she looked at her knees, and they was all right. She took off again running, you know, and got up about her top speed. She says, Lord, help me again, but this time don't shove me, okay? John writing to those who have ears to hear what he has and the message he has, wanted us to understand what it meant to have a unique fellowship with Almighty God, because he deals with that and deals with the prospect of that. But he also deals with the theme I want us to look at tonight. And I told you several weeks ago that as I was waiting on Brother IB for us to go to the hospital about 4:30 in the morning, sitting on the front porch, the Lord gave me a message. And so it's been in the incubator ever since. And tonight I'm going to try to deliver it, okay? So in John's epistle, the 4th chapter, to ask the world the question, how do you spell love? How do you spell love? They would probably spell it one way or another. And if we ask them what it meant, we would almost always get a selfish, sensual answer, I just imagine. But it's not what or how the world answers that is important. And you know what? It's not really how I answer or I think that is really important. But the thing that's really important is how and what God's Word says about it. That's the most important thing. And for us to comprehend and to understand what real love is, I'm talking about love, this kind of love that Paul explains there in 1 Corinthians, the 13th chapter, is to use those 9 active verbs to relate what it's all about, that it is an active, ongoing process where the very reality of God's self and His person takes us and comes within us. And then because of that, our lives are changed and transformed, and we become a walking example of God's love. But let's look at it from a standpoint, and I'm sorry I don't have it on the screen tonight. Me and the computer had another round, and it's been going on all week, and I don't know what I'm going to do with that thing. I'm going to have to go to school on it, I guess. But so if you're keeping notes, you got the bulletin there, you can take it and you write the word love is an acrostic, L-O-V-E, and we're going to look at several points, and I want you to leave places because you might want to even add some to that of what it really means to you. So the question is, what should really matter, or how do we define love, and what is love all about? And as we think about the Word of God, there are several examples from the Word of God. The first letter being the letter L. And as I thought about this and as the Lord laid this on my heart, I look at it from a standpoint of what God wants. But let's look at the Scripture first of all, and then stand for prayer and for the Bible reading, and then remain standing, please. In 1 John 4, starting in verse 7. 4:7. He says, beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. Count the words love as we read through this. How many we've done read, looked at? There's 1, 2, 3 in the first verse, verse 7. All right, count on from here. He that loveth not knoweth not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent His only begotten Son into the world that we might live through Him. Herein is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. No man has seen God at any time. If we love one another, God, what? Dwelleth in us, and His love is perfected in us, or made a reality. Let's pray together. Father, we bow once again to thank You and to praise You for this opportunity You have afforded each of us to come and to assemble ourselves in this place of worship at the appointed time of worship. Lord, we realize there are many that did not make the appointment today for some reason or another. Maybe because of ill health and problems in their life and circumstances and situations beyond their control. And Lord, we pray tonight for them in a special way, that You will meet with them and you will undergird them with Your strength and Your power, O God. And we realize there are others that are not here because they just did not want to come, did not want to be a part of the service tonight, or they would have been here. I pray, Lord, that You'll work in their hearts as only You can. And I ask, Father, also, we realize, God, that You desire that which is the very best for us. And so many times, Lord, we miss out on the best You have for us because we miss out on being with God's people in God's place at God's time. And Father, tonight as we look into Your Word, we pray that You would open the ears of our understanding, that we may hear and heed Your Word and Your will for our lives. I pray, O God, tonight that You once again, God, would take these feeble lips of clay and You would speak through them the truth of Your Word. I pray, Lord, that You would give me the strength to stand and to proclaim Your Word the way that You would have it done. I pray, Lord, that You'd be and help my voice, help me to preach the Word better. And Lord, I realize there's no better word to preach, but I pray asking You, God, just to have Your will accomplished. And Lord, tonight as we think about this word, this term we call love, help us, O God, and open up our understanding of how this term and what this term should mean to us and in us and through us as we live each and every day of our life. God, I ask tonight that You would just bless this church collectively as a body of believers. And Lord, help us to realize the mission that we have to go out into the world and to confront them with the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, and help us to be obedient children of Yours. Lord, we also know that there are some in here tonight that is not up to par. They're not feeling as good as they usually do, and some are facing some things, Lord, in their life this week. Pray that You would be with them in a special way. Those families that's lost loved ones, God, be with them too and undergird them as only You can. And Lord, have Your will accomplished in this meeting, in this place, at this time. We ask it in Jesus' name and for His sake alone. Amen. John, in writing them, wanted us to understand, if I can get the whole grasp of the letter, I believe he wants them to understand the depth of God's love from a standpoint of how God's love changes and transforms a life. And I don't have to tell you that. You know that because you've seen how that God worked in the circumstances of people's lives and how God's love comes within that person when they invite Jesus Christ. And His love literally transforms their lives into something that is beautiful, if I can use that terminology, before God, as they are open and submissive to the will of God. And John here is writing to us so that we can understand. So the letter L, the first letter of this acrostic love, is, I thought of the term left, how He left heaven to to enlist fallen mankind to really know God's heart. John 3:16, say that with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So we understand this, we realize this. In John, turn to John 17 with me just a moment. And if you have not read through the high priestly prayer of Jesus lately, I would encourage you to do that. Maybe four or five or six or seven times this week, or daily, or twice daily this week. Read through the prayer that Jesus prayed there in John the 17th chapter, because here he talked about this. Look in verse 18. Look what he says. We're just back at verse 4. For John 17:4. In Jesus' prayer, we see how he put it. Look in 17:4. He says, I have glorified thee on earth. I have finished the work which thou gavest me to do. And now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. So here Jesus is praying from a standpoint of him coming into this world, and we know that's exactly what happened, because he was with God in the very portals of glory, and he came as a child born in a babe in Bethlehem, and he come and he left the splendor and the glory of all that God had, and he come to a sinful, wicked world. But look in verse 18 back with me just a moment in chapter 17. Look what it says there in verse 18. He says this, as thou hast sent me into the world. See, Jesus left where they were in their abode, this bliss abode. As thou hast sent me into the world, even so have I also sent them into the world. And for their sakes I sanctify myself, that they also might be sanctified through the truth. And Jesus is the very epitome of the truth of God and who God is. And we see in the person of Jesus Christ, as he left the portals of glory, as he came into this world, he come for the purpose, and that purpose was to redeem fallen mankind. The promise goes all the way back to Genesis 3:15, and we see here the promise. We see the promise coming into the world where Jesus left the splendor of glory and he come into this world. See, look how Jesus prayed. His prayer reveals his heart. And if you look at this very close, you can see this. Look in also in verses 22 through 26 of that same chapter, 22 through 26 of John 17. He says, and the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, left the portals of glory and come, sent me, and has loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also, whom thou hast given me, be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory, which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before when? The foundation of the world. Look in the next word, 25. O righteous Father, the world hath not known thee, but I have known thee, and these have known that thou hast sent me. And I have declared unto them thy name, and will declare it, that the love wherewith thou hast loved me may be where? In them, and I in them. What is Jesus? What is he praying there? He wants us to understand, if you read through this prayer, this high priestly prayer, as Jesus pours out his heart to the Father about the relationship he had with the Father. He left the splendor and the portals of glory, and he come into a sinful, wicked world, and there he displayed the very glory, the Shekinah glory, the very glory of God to a lost and dying world, so that they could see and understand exactly the heart of God. That's why Jesus come to make personal the very heart of God, how much he loved them. And when we think about this, we can wrap it all up by what Paul said. Turn to Ephesians just a moment. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Paul kind of had something to say about this. I can just take mine out and read it, y'all. Can y'all do yours like that? It's coming apart. Coming apart. I'm glad I'm not coming apart. It's coming apart. Look in chapter 1. Start in verse 3 with me, if you will. Look what Paul says there. He also answers this question. He says there in verse 3, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places, according as he hath chosen us in him before" when? "The foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love." What is Paul saying there? That we should be holy or complete with him in this love, this relationship of love. Paul wanted the church at Ephesus to understand that if the world, listen to me, if the world is ever going to have a conception about God and who God is, he's going to have to see it in and through the lives of those who have put their faith in Jesus Christ and accepted him as Lord and Savior. And let me tell you something, that's the only way the world is going to see God today. The only way that God, the world is going to see God and see the evidence of God. I believe that's exactly what Paul is saying here. He wants to bless us with all spiritual blessings, and he hath chosen us before the foundation of the world. That's why Jesus came. He left heaven. He left heaven, and he come into a world so that those who would respond to him one day can leave this world and go be with him in glory forever and forever and forever. Man, I like that, don't you? So love, L, the letter L. The second letter is the word O. And I thought about this and prayed about it. And I thought about how can you reduce it down? So when we get to the second point, I got two O's, okay? And you can take a choice. You can add some as well, okay? I thought that this love that he's talking about is an overwhelming love. Not only is it an overwhelming love, but it's also an overcoming love. When we think about overwhelming and overcoming, turn to Romans just a moment, the 8th chapter. Because, see, it exceeds anything in everything this world has to offer. God's love exceeds anything and everything that this world can offer you. In Romans 8, Paul tries to explain that so that we can comprehend, or so that they could comprehend and understand, and so that we can as well because of what he said there. Look in Romans 8, verse 35 and through 39. Look what it says there. Verse 35 says, "And who shall separate us from the love of Christ?" Who has the power, or who has the authority to do that? And there's a question mark. "Shall tribulation, or distress, or persecution, or famine, or nakedness, or peril, or sword, as it is written, for thy sakes we are killed all the day long and accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things we are" what? "More than conquerors through him that loved us." If we look at this very close, we see what Paul is talking about here. We've been loved. Love with an eternal love. There's nothing, not one thing that can separate. So this is an overwhelming love as far as the world is, but it's also an overcoming love because of the ramifications of it as it works in and through every individual's life. We can be, listen to me, I don't care what's going on in your life. I don't care what the world may be throwing at you. I don't care what Satan may be trying to trip you up with. The Word of God says in that particular Paul, and I believe Paul was a good authority on this, was he not? That there's absolutely nothing that we cannot overcome from or be overcome from, because the love of God is that which changes and transforms the outlook that we have on the things that we face every day. Let me tell you something. If you will allow the love of God to filter those things through you and through your life, you'll see that they don't have as much meaning as we thought they did. They don't have the power that we thought they had. They don't have and cannot have and bring the destruction that we think they will. Sometimes I am blown away and baffled at how people respond to things. And many times people, when tragedy happens or when something comes in their life and they just fall all to pieces, and sometimes it's Christians who do this because they do not and cannot fathom and comprehend what God may be doing in the circumstance, because the Bible tells us that He loves us with an eternal love. And everything that comes to us, I believe with every fiber of my being, are sifted through His great big hands of love. And they come to us to shape us and to make us and to mold us into the vessel that He can use for His glory. Just as He took Jesus, His own Son, and he worked through His life, He desires to work through my life and your life as well. And this is what Paul is saying there, is it not? Peter says something about this. He says, this kind of love will cover a multitude of sins in 1 Peter 4:8. Cover a multitude of sins. So when we are overwhelmed, when we are seeming like overcome, help us to draw on the strength of the love that Jesus has demonstrated to us so that we can be overcomers. Man, some people may be looking for the undertaker, but I'm looking for the one who's going to take me out of this mess, aren't you? When we understand His power and the greatness of His love, I think as we think about overcoming in the circumstances of life today. And I know we have a lot of things going on. There's a lot of things that's happening in our world. And we're having a lot of bombardment all the way from the White House down to the courthouse. But let me tell you something. There's not one thing that affects the child of God any more in any way that God has not a plan for them in the process of making their lives and molding their lives to be more like the Lord Jesus Christ. I was flabbergasted at what our president said about the storms, you know, happened up north and all. And he said something about America in there, and I guess he was talking about the division in America. I don't know what he's talking about. I don't think he even knows. But anyhow, he made the statement that if America did not straighten out, they would may see more of the wrath of science. Bless God. He better not be worried about the wrath of science. He better be worried about the wrath of God. When you put, how can you categorize that? When we understand that in the process of what God is doing, just like He did with the children of Israel this morning in the Sunday school, and boy, that's a prime example where God, the theophany of God, and that's a term that's a big term, but the theophany of God means that God demonstrates His presence in the earth in certain ways. And He did with the fire, the flood, the smoke, and all that thing. All that was in the Sunday school lesson this morning. And God demonstrated to the children of Israel. You know why He did that? Because He was trying to get their attention whether they were going to love Him and serve Him or not. Let me tell you something. Some of these things that's happening in America, He's trying to get America's attention. He's trying to get the church's attention so that we can see and visualize His awesome power and His sovereignty, that He can do what He so declares and wants to do. And He don't have to ask me nor you nor nobody else. He's awesome. That's an A. We want to use that one. O, V, moving to the third letter, V. And I've got three for this. One that's probably, you say, well, it's out of place. His letter, the love, V, that His love is vicarious. When we use that term, we use that in the term of His death being vicarious. And that term vicarious means this. It means demonstrated or accomplished for another. That's what Jesus did at the cross. That's what His vicarious death means. It was demonstrated and accomplished for another. But we want to use it in speaking of His death, and it was His death. But I want us to look at it from a standpoint of speaking as it applies to His love. His love, the vicarious death. God wants to impute and impart His love to us so that the world can see and be an evident token of Jesus' vicarious love, a love that is super exceeded and comes upon an individual and they respond to Him with their hearts. Paul is saying that it is a visible as the theophany we talked about this morning in the Sunday school lesson in the Old Testament, but we need to understand that this vicarious death, turn to Colossians just a moment. 1:15 is a good text. Colossians 1:15. Look what he says there. When we think about vicarious, you think about that. He says in verse 14, he said, back up to verse 12. Let's move to 12. I want to get the whole gist of it. Giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us to be, made us meet, or qualified is the term there. Meet means to be qualified, to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Who hath past action with present and future results, tense. That's what that term means. Who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us unto the kingdom of His dear Son, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the what? The forgiveness of sin. Look in verse 15. Even the forgiveness of sin. Who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. In other words, through the person, what Paul is saying, through the person of Jesus Christ, God made His love visible, made it so that we could understand and we could recognize His very heart and who He is. So it was kind of vicarious, that which is accomplished for you and for me. It's also victorious. Why do I say that? The Word teaches us that. His love applied to any and all situations can and will change things in our life. When we, listen to me, I said this a while ago, whatever we may be going through and the things we go through, when you apply the love of God to the situation and the circumstance and you just allow God's love to permeate your life, to take your life, and to make and to mold your life. The circumstance sometimes may not change. But you know what will change? It'll change how we look at the circumstances, what will happen. How we view the circumstance. How we understand what God may be trying to work. We look at things in life, and this is something that many people, they say, well, that's a positive thing, and that's a negative thing. There are things that are positive. There are things that are negative. Not in a Christian's life. There are positive and negative actions. But let me tell you something. Everyone is positive to a child of God. Listen to me. Everyone is positive because, see, as God may be trying to get our attention, as God may be trying to help us to understand His will for our life, as God may be trying to say to us, just trust me. Just trust me and let my love flow in your life and to your life and through your life so that others may know and understand and come to grips with the greatness of the God that loves you with an eternal love. And I'm getting ahead of my sermon. Victorious. Why do I say that? The Word teaches us that as we apply it to circumstance. Back to Romans 8 just a moment. Verse 38 and 39. Look what he says there. Romans 8. 38 and 39, Paul says, for I am persuaded. That term there means he is totally, irrevocably convinced. No questions, no doubts, no ifs, no ands, no buts, nor anything else. For I am persuaded. Look what he says. I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature. Is there anything left out is what I want to know. Can you think of anything that may have been left out of there? I believe this covers the whole gamut. And Paul wants us to understand that. Look what he says. nor any other creature shall be able to separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. In other words, Paul is saying, there's nothing that's going to come your way, my dear Christian brother. There's not one thing, my dear Christian sister. There's not one thing that's going to come your way that can draw you or pull you or snatch you out of the control of God's love. And that's what it's dealing with, the control of God's love. The very expression of that, God's love covers it. As he said, God's love covers a multitude of sin. That's the only thing that can cover sin, what God did at the cross through Jesus Christ, because that is the only means that a person can receive forgiveness of sin, and it covers, his love covers that multitude of sins. Now the letter E, as we move along hurriedly. And I thought about this, and I know I might be going to be questioned on this, but that's okay. It is a love that evolved. Listen to me. Listen closely. I don't want you to leave here saying that Brother Dixon okayed evolution. I'm not saying that, because the teaching of evolution is false. And you know what? Today, the more the scientists understand and the more scientists they comprehend and come to know, they come to realize evolution won't work. It won't work. DNA's done more to destroy evolution than anything else. The discovery of DNA and how it works in life. Done more to destroy evolution than anything else. Because, see, it's a theory. It's not biblical. It's a theory. But I'm saying here that God's love evolved. I'm saying that it evolved from God through His Son by the Holy Spirit. His love is a reality to those who believe and put their faith in Jesus Christ. And what happens, God's love is a continual process in our life as it makes us into something other than what we used to be. Aren't you glad that you're not what you used to be? I know I have not arrived, and we never will arrive until we go home to be with the Lord. But I thank God that He's working in my life. And I guess we can call that evolving. We're evolving from what we were to today what we are, and tomorrow what God wants us to be when we are faithful to Him and we look to Him for what He wants to do in our life. We, according to Scripture, can say, therefore, it is essential for life and living. In 1 John 5:12, He says, He that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. In other words, those who come to know Jesus Christ, their life has come to the realization of the love of God, and this love of God is a continual process working. And John kind of explains some of that in his epistle, if you'll read it. It also plainly states in verse 11, and this is the record that God... Listen, that God hath given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son. So it's something that we come to recognize and understand. And you know what? Therefore, as we think about this love, it is a love that's made known to those who respond to God. This love is an exceptional love because of the eternality of it. Listen, this is why in the book, His Word, He calls it eternal and He calls it everlasting life, because God infuses, listen to me, God infuses His life into the believers, and they will never die, because John says we have the seed of God within us. The seed of God. That means if God dies, we'll die. If God lives, we're going to live. Back years ago, you know, they said, God is dead. I got news for him. God's not dead. But the thing about it is we allow things to cloud our thinking, and many people lost faith in that period of time because they say, well, maybe God is dead. Maybe theirs is dead. He wasn't alive to begin with, probably. But the thing about it is, we know that this love is exceptional because of the eternality. But there's something else. This is what John in his epistle stated in 1 John 3:9. He says there, he used the term two times in that verse. He says, we are born of God. Born of God. And he uses that term there, the seed of God. And he says, in that in that verse, if I understand it, in the Greek term there is ektotheos. And we know theos means God. Ekto means born out of the heart of. That means that our lives, because of what God has done, our lives are born out of the heart of God. And He is infused within every child of God, everyone that put their faith and trust in Jesus Christ. He has infused His life in them, and we will never, never, never die. Thank God for that. Glory, hallelujah. That ought to make a Baptist shout. Born of God. Born of God. Born of God. And He that hath the Son exemplifies God's love. John talks and he goes into that, talking about how we're to love one another, how we're to love our brother. How can we say we love God whom we have not seen if we don't love God? I mean, how can we say we love God whom we have not seen if we don't hate or love our brother whom we have seen? He says it here, this Jesus living within us is the proof that is needed. And let me tell you something. I believe with every fiber of my being, every ounce that I have today and all the faith that I can muster, I'll say this, that is the proof the world needs today, is to see the evidence of God's love working in and through life as God infuses His life and His love to us, and we are ambassadors for the Lord Jesus Christ. Any questions? Any questions? My question is this. Do you know God's love that He made possible through Jesus, His only begotten? That term begotten means unique, one of a kind. Never has been one before, never will be another. His only begotten Son, do you know Him? Have you put your faith and trust in Him? Do you know, and are you a living witness of God's love flowing into your life, through your life, so that others can see the very proof of this term that the Bible calls love? Folks, let me tell you something. There's a song that came out years ago that says, what this world needs now is love. But let me tell you, it didn't need it back then as much as it needs it today. The world needs to see the very love of God. But you know what? It'll change people's attitude. It'll change their life as we allow the very love of God to flow through us. Do you know Him today? Please don't turn Him away. Listen to this song. Let me get some water first. Turn this mic on, please. Or I got to turn it on. Okay.
God wrapped up His love in human form in Bethlehem. His love was born. He walked among men in purity. We crown Him with thorns and nail love to a tree. Then God let love pay the debt I owe, when from His side holy blood flowed, bearing my sin, love died in my place. That glorious day when love became grace, sin was defeated forevermore. Then death itself became heaven's door. All that I have to the cross I now trace to that glorious day when love became grace. Love was taken beyond its fullest degree until it exceeded all boundaries. There on the cross, nails held love in place till fully completed, and God's love became grace. Sin was defeated forevermore. Then death itself became heaven's door. All that I have to that old rugged cross I now trace to that glorious day when God's love became grace. To that glorious day when God's love became grace. The love of God for you and for me. Father, we pause to give you thanks and to praise you for that great love wherein you loved us. Even when we were unlovely and unlovable, you still loved us with an eternal, everlasting love. And God, tonight I pray that you would help us to recognize and understand that this love is not some far-fetched idea, but it's a person, and that person is your Son, Jesus Christ, who loved us and gave himself for us. Father, I pray that you'd help us as your people to recognize the ministry of your love to a world that so desperately needs your love. And Father, I pray that you'd help us to recognize and to understand that if the world is going to catch a glimpse of your love, it must see it through each of our lives. Lord, I don't know hearts here tonight, but I know that you do, and that's all that matters anyhow, is what you know. And you know all about us. You care more about us than we could ever care for ourselves. And you made a provision for us that we could not make for ourselves, because you made possible salvation to everyone who would put their faith and trust in you. And Father, I pray tonight, if there's one here that's never trusted you, they may be a member of this church or some other church, but they've never put their faith and trust in you, I pray, God, that you'd help them to respond to you before it's everlasting, eternally too late. Have your will and way accomplished. And even now, Lord, we're going to thank you and praise you, for we ask it in Jesus' strong and powerful and saving name, and for his glory alone. Amen.
Have that, O Lord. showed you the